us offer our most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the most merciful beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we hold on to you come what may in our lives, and we strive to feel your presence in everything we do from dawn till dusk every single day. With this prayer, let's move on, dear listeners, to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we learn a bhajan which adores our Lord Sai as Lord Rama. This bhajan is in the language Sanskrit, and the first line goes like this.
Raghukul Bhushan Rajivanayana.
So this is what we are going to learn now, and as always, we will begin with getting familiar with the lyrics, and then we'll move on to learn the raga of this bhajan, the beat of this bhajan, the meaning of its every word, and in the end, we will listen to Brother Sonam, a former student of Baba's University, who is a gifted singer and a composer and someone who is very active in the Sai Bhajan movement in India as well as abroad. So that is coming up towards the end of the program. For the moment, let's begin with the lyrics.
Raghukula Bhushana Rajiva Nayana Ishwaramba Nandana Satya Sai Rama Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama Nirupama Sundara Sugunabhi Rama Prashanti Nilaya Pavana Dhama Jaya Jaya Rama Prabhu Sai Rama.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learn how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line. Brother Anirudh will follow each line after Brother Ravi Kumar sings. And you too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh and sing every line of this bhajan. You will get a good idea how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham. Raghukul Bhushan Rajivanayana.
Raghukul Bhushan Rajivanayana.
Raghukul Bhushan Rajivanayana.
Raghukul Bhushan Rajivanayana.
Ishwarambanandana Satya Sai Rama.
Ishwarambanandana Satya Sai Rama.
Ishwarambanandana Satya Sai Rama.
Ishwarambanandana Satya Sai Rama.
Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama.
Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama.
Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama.
Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama.
Nirupama Sundara Sugunabhirama.
Nirupama Sundara Sugunabhirama.
Nirupama Sundara సుగుణాభిరామ
నిరుపమ సుందర సుగుణాభిరామ
ప్రశాంతి నిలయా పవన ధామ
ప్రశాంతి నిలయా పవన ధామ
ప్రశాంతి ధామ
ప్రశాంతి నిలయా పవన ధామ
జయ జయ రామ ప్రభు సాయి రామ
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 రఘుకుల భూషణ రాజీవ నయన
So that was the bhajan you heard in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about the technicalities of this bhajan. What are the swaras? In which raga it is composed? Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, in which Hindustani or Karnataka raga is this bhajan based?
Sairam Vishu, this bhajan is a beautiful composition in the rag Madhuvanti.
Okay.
In the Hindustani classical music, and we call it Dharmavati in the Carnatic music. And I think we have done this raga before in the bhajan.
Sesha Saila Vasa.
Yes. Beautiful bhajan. So the notes of this raga are as follows. It is a Sampurna raga where you have all the seven notes.
Sa Ri.
Ri is Shudri.
Yes.
Ri too.
Ga.
Ga is the minor ga.
So you have Ga Komal.
Yeah, Ga Komal. Ma, ma is Tivrama. Very yes. powerful there.
Yes, the ma that comes in Yaman rag.
Yeah, I'll tell you how it is different from Yaman. It is different from Yaman by just one note.
Okay.
One note makes a lot of difference in the feel. It's just extreme feel.
Yes.
Both Yaman and this raga.
Pa dha.
Dha is Shuddh dha.
Yes.
Ni sa.
Ni is also Shuddhni.
Yes.
Sa ni dha pa ma ga ri sa.
So this is Madhuvanti or Dharmavati. As you were interestingly asking Yaman raga, Yaman is just different from Madhuvanti by ga. The ga is Shuddh ga in Yaman.
Yes.
Sa ri ga ma pa dha ni sa. Sa ni da pa ma ga.
Whereas in Dharmavati it is
sa ni dha pa ma ga ri sa.
Yes, wonderful. So Anirudh, please go on, do a small alap for the benefit of our listeners, just for them to get an idea of what emotions this raga evokes.
I'll try a little bit to give my best.
Sure.
Ah, 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 ah. hari.
Beautiful. So let's move on now with this bhajan.
Sure.
Shall we'll we do the swaras?
Yeah. Line by line we'll do the swaras.
Abhin Sai is here, so to follow after you sing each line.
Raghukul Bhushana Rajivanayana.
So when we do the swaras for this line, you may be wondering,
Rajiva,
what will be the swaras for that? And it will be, if you break down to writing each curve, the swara by swara, it will be too cluttered and complicated.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is, just a basic idea of what notes it just touches and comes.
Yeah.
As long as it is in the raga, it's good enough.
Yes.
Sari pa ma pa 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 ma pa da ni sa ni da pa ma da pa ga.
Sari pa ma pa 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 ma pa da ni sa ni da pa ma da pa ga.
Ishwarambanandana Satya Sai Rama. Gagare sare sada dasagare sare sa.
Gagare sare sada dasagare sare sa.
Janaki vallabha Lavanya Rama. Pama paga gari gari ga sa sa saga pama dadha.
Pama paga gari gari ga sa sa saga pama dadha.
Nirupama sundara suguna bhirama. Rimadani rinidapa pagadapa papa.
Rimadani rinidapa pagadapa papa.
Prashanti nilaya pavana dhama. Sani sari gari ga ga riga sa 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 ni.
Sa ni sa riga riga ga riga sa 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 ni.
In the second time, it's optional, but it's a beautiful variation.
Yes.
Prashanti nilaya pavan dhama. Sa ni sa ri ga ri ga ga ri ga pa ri ga ri sa sa ga ri sa ni.
We'll go to the next line.
Jaya jaya Rama Prabhu Sai Rama. Niri da 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 pa ma ma ni pa pa pa.
Niri da 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 pa ma ma ni pa pa pa.
And in the second time.
Jaya jaya Rama Prabhu Sai Rama.
So they end it in sa.
Yeah.
Niri da 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 pa ma mani da pama da pama gari gari sa.
So I think that gives a general idea of the swaras, and as you mentioned that it is left to everybody's imagination how you can verify the bhajan within the confines of the raga.
Yeah,
wonderful. So let's
and I also think the to anybody the first thing is by identifying the similar bhajans. That's how they classify the bhajans to one particular category. Okay, all these bhajans belong to one feel. Suppose like if you take Madhuvanti, you have
Gajanana hai, Gajanana.
Beautiful bhajan. And that same feel is there in one more bhajan.
Madhuvana Murali Shama Murari Sesha Sailavasa
Narayana.
Yes.
So all these bhajans, then we classify, then we come to know about this raga. Okay, this bhajans are
yes.
belong to Madhuvanti.
This is the Sai bhajan singer's route to classical music.
And it is a, I really feel this is a proper route and,
yes.
you know, not like simply I'll run this raga, I'll learn this raga today, I'll
yes.
learn some other raga tomorrow. This like, you know, that sense of identifying and putting them into one list of same raga, that is being improved in you.
You go by the feel and then you learn the technicality.
Yes, that's better.
Wonderful.
Actually. Yeah.
Wonderful. So shall we move on to the beat of the bhajan?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Adi Talam, and the count is 1. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Raghukula Bhushana Rajiva Nayana. Raghukula Bhushana Rajiva Nayana.
So that really gives us a good idea of the raga and the beat. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Now that we have become familiar with the lyrics, the beat, the raga, the swaras and everything technical about this bhajan, let's move on now to the bhava aspect, the feeling aspect of this bhajan. And for this, we need to know the meaning of its every word. So let's begin with the first line.
Raghukula Bhushana Rajivanayana.
The first word here is Raghukula, coming from Raghu and Kula. Raghu refers to Emperor Raghu, the great grandfather of Lord Rama. The word Kula means lineage or dynasty. The second word is Bhushana, meaning crest jewel. The clan of Lord Rama is often called the Raghu dynasty because King Raghu was so impeccable in character and was an able administrator during his rule over the kingdom of Ayodhya. In the Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bhagwan says, though young, Emperor Raghu was rich in virtue. However tough a problem happened to be, he grasped it quickly and discovered the means of solving it. He won over wicked kings by peaceful approaches or by intelligent diplomacy, or sometimes by fielding a little army just to win them over. He made his subjects happy and contented. This dynasty was filled with duty-bound rulers such as King Raghu, and Lord Rama was indeed the crest jewel in this lineage of Raghu. And his life was highly exemplary. Since Lord Rama was born in this dynasty of King Raghu, he is described as Raghukula Bhushana, the one who adorns the Raghu dynasty as a crest jewel. The third word is Rajiva, meaning lotus. And the fourth word is Nayana, that is the eye. Now, why is the phrase lotus-eyed used to describe Lord Rama? Bhagwan says the lotus, which stays deep down in the mud, comes up to the light, but it cannot stay without water because it would die otherwise. However, it does not get mixed up either with the mud or the water. Even if water comes onto the lotus flower, the droplets just roll off. And there is the significance of the lotus flower. Bhagwan says, God is always described as lotus eyes, lotus feet and so on, because when God incarnates in human form, He is in the world, He acts like every human being, but in reality, He is beyond the world. He is not attached to anything. He is always blissful. He is not affected in the least by the environment He is in, just like the lotus that grows in the slush but is not affected by what is around. In the life of Lord Rama, the divine displayed equanimity in all situations. He was never perturbed by anything. In the Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bhagwan writes that Rama had a charming face, a charming smile all the time. A merry twinkle in the eye characterized Lord Rama. There was a lasting sweetness in his words. no one ever noticed the slightest trace of anger, dislike, despair or hate on his face. When Mother Kaikeyi asked Lord Rama to go into the exile for 14 years, he gladly accepted without any objection. He displayed the same equipoise that he had shown a day earlier when he was informed that he would be crowned. He displayed the same equipoise that he had shown a day earlier when he was informed that he would be crowned as the heir to the throne. So whether he was going to become the king or whether he was banished to the forest, he was the same self of supreme peace and equanimity. In fact, that is what one sees in the life of Bhagwan too, in the life of Sai Rama too. Swami's meal was always just two tiny bites of chapati made of ragi, the local millet. Even though Puttaparthi is so hot and in fact becomes very hot in the summer, still Bhagwan never allowed an air conditioner to be fitted in the interview room. He was always that same blissful self, whether he travelled in a Mercedes or whether he travelled in an outdated Maruti car or an ordinary golf cart. When the earthly father of Bhagwan passed away, Swami said, "If there is no birth and death in this world, how can I pass my time?" Lotus-like, he is completely detached to what is happening around. He is in it, but he is beyond it. And that is why we hail him as the one with this lotus characteristics. So in this line, we adore the Lord who chose to incarnate as Rama in the virtuous lineage of Raghu and shone as its crest jewel. We praise him as the lotus-eyed Lord who is so beautiful and who teaches us this profound lesson of being equanimous under any situation in our lives. Let's move on to the second line.
Ishwarambanandana Satya Sai Rama.
Here the first word is Ishwaramba, referring to Mother Ishwaramba, the mother of beloved Bhagwan. The second word is Nandana, meaning sun. Nandana also means to gladden or delight. The third word is Satya, meaning truth. And the fourth word is Sai. One meaning of Sai is master. And of course, the last word is Rama. Ramyate iti Rama, Swami always says, which means the one who is pleasing and loving is Rama. Rama and Ishwaramba reminds one of a very beautiful anecdote. A few days prior to her passing away, Mother Ishwaramba was blessed with a vision which she confided to another elderly lady named Peddabottu. Mother Ishwaramba told Peddabottu Amma, "Hey Peddabottu, I want to tell you something that happened to me, but please do not tell anyone else." And Peddabottu Amma went closer and she said, "What is it? Tell me." And Mother Ishwaramba whispered, "You know something? Our Swami is God." And Peddabottu laughed. And Mother Ishwaramba says, "Why do you laugh?" And Peddabottu replies, "I'm not laughing at you, but I'm only happy that you have realized it now. But anyway, tell me, how did this realization come?" And then Mother Ishwaramba replied, "You know what? I've been having high fever for 4 days. And then Swami came to me last night." So Peddabottu said, "Swami came to you in a dream?" She said, No. He really came to me. I was rolling restlessly on my bed and Swami came and he called out, 'Ammai,' and he said, 'How do you feel?' And I said, 'Swami, my whole body is aching.' And I looked up to him and then when I saw Bhagwan, it was not him. It was not Baba. It was Ramachandra. It was the Lord, the divine personality of Lord Ram with Kiritam and Kodandam, with the crown and the bow. And he looked so majestic. I just raised my folded hands and struggled to sit up and get out of the bed just to see that form. And even as I had that glimpse, just in a few minutes, that whole vision disappeared and it was just Baba again. And Swami came to me, gave me vibhuti and then said, 'Don't worry, the fever will go.' And then went away as if nothing had happened." And hearing this, Peddabottu Amma exclaimed, "You are indeed blessed. What a rare piece of luck. No one has had a vision of Sai Rama as Ramachandra Murthy, as the personality of Lord Rama. while someone is fully awake and alert, it's not a dream. You had a real vision. And she congratulated Madhurishwaramma for the beautiful blessing that Swami had conferred on her. And this happened just a couple of days before Madhurishwaramma left her mortal coil. And Swami always emphasized on the need to be devoted to one's own mother and motherland. During one discourse in May 1982, Bhagwan spoke about the ideal of patriotism and he gave the example of Ramavatar and the example in his own life too. Swami said, after the death of Ravana on the battlefield, Lakshmana asked Rama, "Brother, our brother Bharata has been ruling the kingdom of Ayodhya very well for 14 years. That kingdom, even though it is poor, it is happy under the rule of Bharata. But now Lanka has come into our hands. Ravana is vanquished. So I pray that you assume rulership of Lanka because Lanka is so beautiful, so prosperous. It's better you become the king of Lanka and reform these Rakshasas. Let us not go back to Ayodhya." When Rama heard this, he smiled and said, "Lakshmana, does any son give up his mother just because her features are ugly? My motherland may be poor, but it is my mother. Can I adopt another woman as my mother just because she is more charming than my own mother? However rich and prosperous this Lanka may be, I do not wish to be here." When Bhagwan narrated this, he continued further and said, "Now I shall relate an example in which I myself am the subject." And then Swami said, "Many years ago, a rich lady named Sakamma used to come to Puttaparthi from Bangalore. In those days, journey to this isolated hamlet was a difficult venture. Those who came by car had to negotiate mud tracks and park the cars on the right bank of the river and then trudge across the waters. On one occasion, Sakamma came with two maternal uncles of the Maharaja of Mysore and they prayed, 'Swami, this place is very inaccessible. Devotees are undergoing so much trouble coming here. We will purchase a few acres of land for you in Bangalore city and we'll spend a few lakhs and build a fine, spacious mansion for you there. Swami, please agree to come and stay in that city. Please move to Bangalore.'" And Swami told them, "Sakamma, what is the greatness in promising water to those who come to River Ganga anyway? The greatness consists in promising water to those who come to the desert. Listen, this is the place where this body was born. You may build the mandir that you plan anywhere you like. I may come there and probably visit, but I will never forsake this place of my birth." Swami emphatically declared that he would not leave Puttaparthi because he had promised Madhurishwaramma about this. Of course, when later Madhurishwaramma came to know about the request of Sakamma and others, she had tears in her eyes. She went to Swami and said, "Swami, people want to take you here and there for their selfish purposes. If you leave Puttaparthi, I will just give up my life. Please promise me that you will always remain in Puttaparthi forever." And Swami, on that occasion, gave her his word and he lived up to it during his entire earthly sojourn. That is the value that the Lord attached to the motherland and mother, whether it was in the Treta Yuga in the time of Rama or in the current times when he came down as Sai Rama. Also, Bhagwan always spoke in Telugu because that was another promise he made to Madhurishwaramma. And he did this to demonstrate how one should respect one's own mother tongue. Of course, we know of the three selfless desires that Madhurishwaramma had. Swami constructed a school for the village children, a hospital both in Puttaparthi as well as in Bangalore. He also executed that water project. All of these mammoth projects were fulfillment of the promises that he gave to the mother. So in this line, we hail the Supreme Lord who incarnated as Rama earlier and now as Sai Rama. We glorify him as the ideal son of Madhurishwaramma who lived up to every word that he gave to his earthly mother and he filled her with delight by making a reality of all her selfless desires. Let's move on to the third line.
Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama.
The first word here is Janaki, referring to Mother Sita, the consort of Lord Rama. She represents Mother Earth and nature. The second word is Vallabha, which means beloved. Lavanya, the third word, means beauty. During one discourse in the summer courts of May 2002, Bhagwan spoke about what Lavanya actually means and said, according to our ancients, Lavanya connotes beauty of character. As one's character develops, the splendor of one's personality increases and such a person will remain ever youthful even in advanced age. He will always be blissful and beautiful. And then Swami referred to his own body and said, on that occasion, it was his 77th birthday. So he said, this body is approaching its 77th year. How is it that this body remains youthful and attractive? It is full of Lavanya because of the purity of my character, because of my sense control. Whoever has sense control will have Lavanya. And Swami says, you never find pictures of Rama or Krishna looking old. They are ever young. They are full of splendor. They are full of Lavanya. And Swami referred to his own body and said that if you do not have control over senses, even if you are 16 or 17, you look like 50 or 60. But if you have restraint on your desires, then you will have all the strength, valor and splendor. Put the senses to proper use and exercise restraint over them. You will then be endowed with Lavanya. And then Swami went on to explain how to develop this Lavanya and said, one with body consciousness can never attain bliss. Yes, the body has to be maintained properly, but you should not eat as you please. The stomach is like a petrol tank. It should not be overloaded. You should have moderate and wholesome food. And then Swami, giving his own example, he said, for the past 1 month, I have stopped eating even ragi sankati, which is my regular diet. I am taking only one chapati and nothing else. And you see how blissful I am. Some people think that I am looking weak, but it is a reflection of their feelings. In me, there is no weakness whatsoever. I am very strong. I can walk, I can run, even now. And what is the secret of this? Swami said, the secret of this is my Lavanya. Many people wonder how I appear so young and blissful, even though I am 77. Swami said, how can you expect me to be anything but this? I am full of bliss. I have no worries at all. My life is my message. So follow in my footsteps and you too will ever remain energetic and blissful forever. So in this line, we bow reverentially to the Lord who is the beloved of Mother Sita, Janaki Vallabha, who represents Mother Earth and nature. He is the one who is ever beautiful, ever youthful and always blissful because of the mastery of his senses and detachment from body consciousness. Let us move to the next line.
Nirupama Sundara Sugunabhirama.
The first word here is Nirupama, meaning matchless. The second word is Sundara, beautiful. The third word is Sugunabhi, one who is full of noble virtues. Bhagwan used to narrate how Lord Rama always spoke softly and sweetly. And it is the same that we saw in Sai Rama too. Swami always addressed everyone as Prema Swarupalara, embodiments of divine love. He spoke in a sweet, mellifluous voice. Even when he chided us, he was always filled with sweetness. He was not a condescending avatar. When people went into the interview room, he was the most considerate, the most courteous being. Swami always used we and not you. He never said, you are like this. He always said, let us not be too strict with others. Let us love others. Let us not hurt others. He never addressed people in the second person singular, but always in the second person plural, because that is the traditional form of addressing respectfully. So when we sing this line, Nirupama Sundara Sugunabhirama, we hail the Lord who is of matchless beauty, the one who is the repository of all noble virtues. We seek his blessings that we too imbibe these virtues and practice them in our lives. Let us move on to the fifth line.
प्रशांति निलया पावन धामा.
Here the first word is Prashanti. In Prashanti Vahini, Bhagwan says the syllable Pra in Prashanti means expanding, enlarging, Vikasa, development, and Pra Shanti refers to this type of Shanti, that is all the time expanding. The second word is Nilaya, which means abode. The third word is Pavana, which means supremely pure, and Dhamma means abode. Prashanti Nilaya Pavana Dhamma. It refers to Prashanti Nilayam, which is the most sacred of all spots. And why is it sacred? Because Swami himself said he never sends invitation cards for anyone to come to Prashanti Nilayam. They come because of his divine love. The abode of peace draws everyone to it because of the nature of the place, because of how it is a colossus of peace. It indeed is the most love-charged place on the planet. So in this line, Prashanti Nilaya Pavana Dhamma, we refer to this most sacred spot on earth, which is holiest and which is the destination of every spiritual seeker. Let's now move on to the last line.
Jaya Jaya Rama, Prabhu Sai Rama.
Here the first and second word is Jaya, which means may victory be too. And the other new word is Prabhu, which means Lord. So in this line, we proclaim victory to the eternal Lord who incarnated as Lord Rama in the Tritayuga and again as Satya Sai Rama in the Kali Yuga, the current times. And with this, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deeper understanding, let's now proceed listening to the complete version of the bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
Sai Rama, Ishwarabhanandana Sat Sai Rama, Janaki Vallabha Lavanya Rama. Ishwarabhanandana Sat Sai Rama. జానకి వల్లభ లావణ్య రామా నిరుపమ సుందర సుగుణాభిరామా జయ జయ రామ ప్రభు సాయి రామ రఘుకుల భూషణ రాజీవనయన
Last part of this program, here is an excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam from Sikkim. He belongs to one of the early batches of Bhagwan students who joined his college way back in the 1970s. And since then, he was blessed to sing in the divine presence and also compose many beautiful bhajans which are sung even till this day.
Can you imagine me composing a bhajan? And that bhajan, the first ever bhajan which I composed after I came to his lotus feet, is this beautiful bhajan.
Karuna Sindhu Dasharatha Nandana Parte Purishwarara Prema Swarupa Prashanti Niketana మారుతి సేవితరా అహల్యోధారక రాజీవలోచన రఘుకుల భూషణ రా కరుణా సింధు
And I sang this bhajan before Bhagwan and he tapped to this bhajan he just kept the beat he swayed to this bhajan And he said that it's a beautiful bhajan. Did wow. you compose it? You know, we learn so much from Bhagwan in terms of teaching. Today, a lot of people, musicologists, people who know music, they tell me, oh, that bhajan, it's in Bilash Khani Tori and, you know. But then, at that point of time...
You didn't know the ragas.
Who would know? And who could care? Even as today.
Yes.
Now, what was important was just singing the bhajan and enjoying it. And these were the intangible ways of teaching a novice... Wherein he was not telling me the alpha and omega of music, not telling me how to compose a bhajan. But he was giving me the bhajan, making me sing the bhajan, so that lot of other people around me also would emulate it, would desire to compose bhajans. And it started happening. Soon after that, I still remember the day I sang that bhajan and Swami gave all those beautiful compliments. Everyone was coming and telling me that you sang very well, fantastic, very good. And then there was one person, my best friend, Sai Shankar, a wonderful musician, good violin player. He just wanted to pull me down a bit. So he told me, what's so big about composing a bhajan, man? Because by the time I was putting on such an air,
okay.
without my knowledge, so egoistic, just for composing one bhajan, can you imagine? A bhajan that is supposed to liberate you, if you are ignorant.
It's actually binding you.
It binds you so much
yes.
to that authorship that
yes.
I have composed a bhajan.
So that was Brother Sonam, a gifted singer and a composer of many Sai bhajans. Brother Sonam hails from Sikkim, but he travels all around India and the world, disseminating this powerful medium of bhajan singing to connect with the Lord. And with this, it's time to end this present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan with utmost humility and deep gratitude.